You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could be strong. You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight and we could.
This is Bridge the Gap with Mark and Dave, the program that seeks for the truth no matter where it is found. I'm Mark.
And I'm David.
Consider for a moment that when Satan, along with the third part of the host of heaven, were cast out of God's presence for rebellion, they were cast out to this earth. Right? Mm-hmm. This is hell. Mm-hmm. And Satan is the god of this world. And when we are born into this fallen world via the corruptible mortal bodies that we're born into, we're in his territory. That's the fall. That's when we fell out of heaven and came to this corruptible mortal world. So everything in this fallen world is mortal, corrupted, and destined to die. We kind of get that. We're born and we die. That's one thing we know. That's a settled science. But we don't know what happens after we die. That's the mystery, right?
Well, something to add to that, you said like this is hell in a way, right? I mean, we come to this world, and I think it's important that we don't pretend it's not. Right, I think people can get in trouble when they try to live life and pretend like all is well.
Well, this is a good place, and I'm not trying to get us all scared. Like, oh, this is a horrible world that we live in. I just want to set up a proposition to ponder about, and I just want us to suppose for a minute that Satan has designed his territory to keep us distracted from knowing the truth, so that we remain trapped here forever. So what if one of his very powerful entrapment tools is addiction? What if one of his very powerful distraction tools is a giant pyramid scheme? Remember what I told you about that? Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of an interesting analogy. In fact, I kind of feel like I have a feeling for Satan's plan for corruption, power, and control is all wrapped up into a myriad of different versions of a giant pyramid scheme. Do you want to hear the analogy?
Yeah. Well, and break down a pyramid scheme for those that want a more clear picture of.
Well, you know, there's lots of them out there, but an example of a pyramid scheme is when the masses work hard to get to the top because they're promised by the few that are at the top of the pyramid scheme. Look, if you work hard, you do your best, you can be like me one day. But really, it's rigged because the people at the top who benefit from the pyramid scheme are dependent on the masses below them. They're literally standing on the shoulders of those below them. And in reality, the masses below them will never get to the top because when they take their turn, it's already fallen apart. The only people that really ever get a benefit from a pyramid scheme are the ones that get in early and are the first few tiers. The rest of the people are promised the same thing, but it never comes to fruition for them. But it's easy to fall into the trap because the people at the top look really happy. It's kind of like lots of things in the world are designed that way, right? You work hard in the business world, and you really try hard, you will one day be like me. You know, you can be popular, you can be wealthy, you can have a power if you can get to the top. So we're all fighting to get there, but pride stands on a pedestal and is easily knocked off. And that's a good example or description of what a pyramid scheme is. It's all based and rooted in pride. You can be like me, but you really can't, at least the majority of the people. But there are a few that benefit from that. And there are a few in this, I'm making a proposition, that there are always going to be a few in this world who get to be at the top. And they look make it look like that's what the masses can have too. And that the masses end up supporting them, actually becoming enslaved by the ones at the top for a false hope that they can do the same.
So now what about those people that are quote unquote at the top that are righteous individuals living a righteous life?
You know, I think that you can do that. However, what is the motivation? Hey, case in point, let's just once again continue on this thought experiment. Here's this world, this great pyramid scheme, right? And we're all clawing to get up to the top for all the wrong reasons. We're figuring out and we're supposing that the only way that people get up to the top is by lying, cheating, stealing, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And so I've got to do that too. And then I can be at the top.
But that's a very, that's part of the world. But then there's another right. part of the world.
And the best person that came into this world that didn't follow those rules was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He came into this world and tried it a different way. And he got up to the top too. And when he got to the very top, it was as though he could touch the veil of this celestial world that keeps shrouded from us the devils and the angels that are tempting and coaching us to follow their plan. And every other person that clawed their way up to the top under Satan's program of manipulation, power, and control, and you know, cheating and scheming and conning people, they got to the top and they enjoyed that, but they were soon taken down by the next person seeking to replace them. But Christ, he got to the top differently. And when he got there, he punched through that veil. He was the only one that could do it because of the way he played the game. And immediately he inverted the pyramid. And now at the apex of that pyramid that people thought was the top and there was nothing beyond that, he opens up a porthole to an inverted pyramid. And that gap into that porthole is so small that only one person can enter at a time. And he stands and guards it. Because he knows that once you get past the veil, you go into a world that, like a mathematical equation, multiplies forever and expands. He begins to pull people one at a time through that veil and puts them on his shoulders and begins to create an inverted pyramid where he alone supports the masses. But the only way to participate in that program is to follow Christ. He is the way. He's the one that opened the gate. And now he guards it from all those who are trying to play the game of the world by Satan's rules. Because that would corrupt the perfect system that is beyond this corruptible world. So if anybody was allowed to go through that gate who was not playing by sound principles, would destroy it for everybody who was. All those in the worldly pyramid are takers. All those in the inverted pyramid are givers. You put one taker in a group of givers, and it corrupts it for everyone. So Christ can only let people who are purified, committed to following the rules through the gate for the sake of all those who are on the other side of the veil. And until we're spiritually mature enough to accept that, we're not let through the hole.
So how do we get to the gate where Christ is guarding?
There is a scripture in 2 Nephi. I think it pretty much sums it up through chapters 30 and 33, where it talks about baptism. But baptism in the Book of Mormon has two parts. There's baptism by water, which is a gate, and it is done by mortal beings. And then there's a baptism by fire that's a little different, and it's another gate. And to obtain a baptism by fire is a little bit harder than obtaining baptism by water. But to get to the baptism by fire, you have to go through the gate of the baptism by water.
And then what? What's in between the baptism of water and the baptism of fire? Let's say you have a desire to get to that gate, that Christ is the gatekeeper in this life, not after this life, in this life. How can you best describe what is need to be done in order to do that?
Well, that's the answer to that is throughout the scriptures. In fact, I think that's one of the main themes of the Book of Mormon, and one of the primary reasons why the Book of Mormon was given to man is so that we can discover how to escape this world and obtain a different world. Get out of the world we're trapped in. Get out of the fallen state that we're already in and be redeemed from the fall. First, the first question is, should we even pursue that? Is it wrong to try and pursue that while you're in mortality?
Based off of Nephi's example, I don't think so, right? Because
Nephi
hits me so hard that he wanted to see the things that his father saw.
Right, and he alludes to the fact that he probably has seen some things that are supernatural, that are not of this world, but was forbidden from writing them, and he saw them while he was alive in mortality. Is that reserved for him and only him?
Definitely not.
What does he say about it?
He invites us to do the same.
He actually says, do it. This is my message to you. You can do it too. You can obtain empirical evidence of the existence of God if you're willing to pay the price. You just have to follow the rules. That is one of the mysteries in the Book of Mormon. And the key to unlocking that gate is described in detail by people who have achieved that.
See, and yeah, I want to discuss that and dive into that. Because my initial thought and my thought for the past, 20 years is, okay, be as perfect as I can be. Sin at the least amount that I can and just try to be perfect. And then I'll get to that gate. What I've learned over the years is I think that's a very flawed way of looking at it. Very flawed. But I want to talk more about that.
I think we start by questioning everything that we thought we understood and really start to get into what I call the metaphysical zone. It's a spiritual zone that we have to be in touch with. There's different ways that we can get into it. One of those ways is through prayer. One of those ways is through meditation. When we start to really take it seriously and stop pursuing the rat race of the telestial world that so easily distracts us and keeps us trapped here, we can start to discover the true purpose of this world and our existence.
That's it for this episode of Bridge the Gap.
Truth seekers,